So about a couple weeks ago, I went to the beach with Analia and some of her friends for her birthday. And part of that excursion was a hike along the beach, which landed me on some rocks. Or not landed me, but placed me on some rocks. And these rocks were a little slippery, and there was a lot of water going on. But the kids kept going higher and higher and bigger rocks. So having to be the responsible adult, I stayed behind and watched from afar. But then I realized, well, okay, maybe I should get closer and, you know, get more involved. So I started climbing up these rocks. And I got up to a very high rock. And as I'm going up, my only thought was, I hope I don't fall. I hope I don't fall. The reason I said it is because about a year ago, I had a pretty nasty fall. So ever since then, you know, I'm a little bit more cautious of where I put my feet. You know, I don't like, it's not fun falling. It tends to hurt. But I was hoping I wouldn't fall. Well, good news is I didn't fall. I made it down, and Analia carried me the rest of the way, and I was okay. So it's amazing how many times we use that word hope for many different circumstances. I hope it doesn't rain. I hope it's not hot today, or I hope I don't fall, or I hope I make it to church on time, or I hope I get an A on my test, or you know, I hope I don't get called upon in class, or whatever. But that word hope brings with it sometimes more of an uncertainty. It's like, I'm not sure if it's going to happen or not, but I really hope it doesn't. Well, today I want to talk to you about a certainty that we do have, a confidence that we do have, and that's our hope in Christ. And we're going to look to that hope going back to Psalm 16, which I preached on 2 weeks ago. And I'm going to finish up that sermon on Psalm 16. We looked at the first 2 points about Christ and his confident expectation. He had a hope in his Father. And it is that same hope we are to emulate, we are to copy, we are to look forward to. His confident expectation in his Father, in his Word, in his promises. And we looked not only at his confident expectation, but we looked at Christ's glorious resurrection. And it's in his resurrection that our hope is secure. It is on his resurrection, on him, on Christ, that we stand secure. We don't stand on a rock where we might fall. It's a solid rock that is secure and steadfast. So we look to Christ, who is a sure and steadfast anchor of our soul. So if you could stand with me, we're going to go to Psalm 16 and read the entire psalm. So open your Bibles to Psalm 16, and I'll be reading from the ESV version. We only have one verse printed on the back of the bulletin because that's the verse I'm going to focus on today, but we're going to go through the entire psalm. This is the word of the Lord, Psalm 16, a mikkam of David. Preserve me, O God, for in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. I have no good apart from you. As for the saints in the land, they are the excellent ones, in whom is all my delight. The sorrows of those who run after another God shall multiply. Their drink offerings of blood I will not pour out or take their names on my lips. The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. You hold my lot. The lions have fallen for me in pleasant places. Indeed, I have a beautiful inheritance. I bless the Lord who gives me counsel. In the night also my heart instructs me. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my whole being rejoices. My flesh also dwells secure. For you will not abandon my soul to Sheol, or let your Holy One see corruption. You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Amen. Let's pray. Oh, Father, I thank you that we do have a sure and steadfast hope in Christ. Father, I thank you for the power of your word, for his living and active. Use your word to energize us, to move us to holiness, to purity, to have a greater confidence in you and in your word, for you are faithful to your word. That which you have promised, you will fulfill, Father. And I pray that as we look to Christ, Father, that we would see our emptiness and his fullness. May we see our poverty and his riches. May we see our weakness and may we see his strength. May we see our sins and his blood. May we see our guilt and his righteousness. So may we turn to Christ, our Savior, our coming King, our blessed hope. Amen. You may be seated. So today I'll be looking at the last verse, verse 11. This was the third point that I brought up last or 2 weeks ago, which is the believer's hope. So we look at the Messiah's confident expectation, the Messiah's glorious resurrection, and today we're looking at the believer's hope, the believer's only hope, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. And Psalm 16:11 is a beautiful psalm. I've heard this psalm, heard this verse quoted many times. I myself have just found great just comfort in this verse, where God has made known to us the path of life, and it is in His presence that there is fullness of joy. It is being at His right hand that there are pleasures forevermore. But from our look at this psalm last time, we know that the path of life that which the psalmist was proclaiming as Jesus Christ is His resurrection. It was that prophecy that was foretold about Him that Christ fulfilled, demonstrating that He is the long-awaited Messiah, that He is the King, and it is the hope of His resurrection that we now can apply this verse, so we could allow this verse to impact us. So the path of life is the resurrected Christ. It is Christ Himself. And I would like to look at this path of life, which is the path of God, from another angle as well. I'd like to look at it as, what is this path of God that He has provided? How can we look at it even closer? Again, we know it's Christ. We know it's through His resurrection that we now can follow Him as He has gone before us as a forerunner into the inner curtain. He has gone before us to be seated at the right hand of God at a place of honor, a great power and authority, a place of sovereignty over all things, from where He rules and reigns and governs His church, and a place from which He will be sent back to return for His bride, the church. It is a place that we look to Him, knowing that He is there as our mediator, as our great high priest. He intercedes for His people. And that is our hope. It is Him. So I want to look at the path of God, which leads to the presence of God, and just wrap up with this great hope. This path of life that God has provided is a path. I want to look at it as opposed to the path of destruction. In the Proverbs, it says, the path of life is like a light, like the light of dawn, which shines brighter and brighter until the full day. It also says, in the path of righteousness is life, and in its pathway there is no death. But Solomon also says in Proverbs that there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way to death. So there is a path of life that leads to God, and there's a path of destruction that leads to hell. And this is a truth that the Bible talks about over and over again, and we know that all human beings, when they first start off, are on the path of destruction. It is a path of darkness that we are walking. And the Bible said that those who are walking on the path of darkness have seen a great light, and it is this great light that is Jesus Christ that has taken him out of the path of darkness and placed him onto this path of life. And it is this path of life that is secured and anchored in the glorious person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. So how is it that we can go from a path of destruction to a path of life? Well, it is only by God's great mercy, because it is the Lord that has made known to us the path of life. It is the Father who has opened our eyes to see our Redeemer. He has opened our eyes to see our need for a Redeemer, to see our total unworthiness, our sinfulness, our poverty, our weakness. We need a Savior. We need a Redeemer. We need hope. Because on this path of destruction, there is no hope. But God gives hope to the hopeless. He is a merciful God. He is a loving God. So I want to focus on this path of life by looking at it from three different ways. This path of life, first of all, is a narrow way. It's a narrow path. Jesus said to enter by the narrow gates. For the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those who enter it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. He also said in the Gospel of Luke, he said to strive through the narrow door. He says, for I tell you, many will seek to enter, but will not be able to. This is a narrow way. This is not a wide path. Jesus was giving two illustrations, one of a narrow way, a narrow gate where you come alone, and there are few that are on it, as opposed to the gate that is wide. And the way that is easy, but it leads to destruction.
This is the way that leads to destruction is a broad way. It's a place where everybody comes along and says, you can come here too. You could live any way you want, but still end up in heaven. You could just say you love Jesus, but never live according to His word. Never pursue holiness or purity. Never confess your sins. It is a path where all are welcome and there's no need for repentance. But it's a path that leads to destruction. It's a path where people think that they're on the right path. It seems right to them. I'm doing good works. I'm a good person. I go to church on Sundays. I pay my taxes. I give tithes. I go to work. But they have not bowed the knee to the Lord Jesus Christ. And they find out that its end is really the way to death. This broad way is a way of relativism. That's okay for you. If that's what you believe, come along this path. That's okay for you. You want to believe that? Come along this path. We'll all get there eventually. It's a path of selfishness. I want to fulfill my desires. This is the path that will bring me the greatest joy here and now. This is easy. I don't want to go on that path where it talks about repentance, denying yourself, taking up your cross, and forsaking all. I don't want that path. I want this path. This is the path that those itching ears want to hear about, where there is no call for repentance. There is no call for holiness. There is no call for purity. But again, it's the path that leads to destruction. And Jesus said that those who enter it are many. Many. Many will be self-deceived. Many will trot along this path to only hear at the end, depart from me. I never knew you. But Lord, I did all these things in your name. He said, depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. You lived as though my law had no place in your life. You lived as though my word meant nothing to you. You forsook me while on earth, so now you are being forsaken. Depart from me, I never knew you. And that is the path of destruction that all are headed. For the Bible says that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And that the wages of the sin is death. It's eternal destruction. But God, being rich in mercy, has caused us to see this great light as we were walking along the path of destruction. He has opened our eyes to see the glory of our Redeemer. He has caused us to see that we are walking along this path with a heavy burden that we no longer can bear. And we take this burden off and we bow the knee to Christ. And we look to Him and Him alone for salvation. We look to His person. We look to what He has accomplished in His life, in His death, in His resurrection, in His ascension, who He is and what He does. We look to Him as our only hope, our sure hope, our confidence. And that is the difference between the world's hope and the believer's hope. So I started off saying, I hope I don't fall earlier. Because I wasn't certain. I wasn't sure that I was going to fall or not. I mean, those rocks seemed really high, but now in hindsight, they probably weren't that high. They're probably about as high as where I'm at now. But I was really hoping I wasn't going to fall. I didn't have a sure footing. And that's the world's hope. There really is no confidence. They can't bank on it. We have a sure and steadfast anchor for our soul. We have Christ. Our hope is confidence. Our hope is expectation. Our hope is believing God's word, because we know that God has spoken. We know that God will fulfill His promises. That is our hope. He is our hope. God is the source of our hope. And Jesus has secured that hope. And the Holy Spirit strengthens that hope in our lives. And it's a hope, as Gary read, it's a living hope. It's a living hope. Said, blessed be the God and Father who has caused us to be born again to a living hope. It's a living hope through the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ from the dead. But it's a living word. That word living, means it's an energizing hope. It's a word that activates your faith. It activates your hope. It causes you to live a life of holiness. Peter in his epistle uses that word hope many times. And he talks about how it's a living hope. He says, therefore, because of this, we have a hope that will now lead us into holiness. It says, prepare your minds, guard yourselves. You are now to be holy because you have this hope. So it's a hope that purifies. It's a hope that ought to purify for today. And it's a hope that is for today that we have today. And it's a hope that guarantees our future because it's been already guaranteed by Christ. So it's a narrow way. But not only is it a narrow way, it's the only way. This path of life that leads to God, there's only one path that leads to God. It's not the broad path that says all roads lead to heaven. Any religion can come. They all lead to heaven. No, there's only one way, one path.
And that is Jesus Christ. For he said he is the way, the truth, and the life. He said no man, no one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus is alive. He's risen. And he secured that path. Everyone else who's promised life is dead. They're dead. But Christ is alive. And that is our great hope. He is alive. He's risen. He's ruling and reigning. And he is returning. And our hope note is this, that we will see him one day. We will see our King one day. Either when we die, we go immediately to be in his presence, or when he returns. But regardless, we will see him one day. And we look forward to having our soul and body reunited one day to a perfect body, a glorified body, a body perfectly fit for heaven to live forever, to dwell with him forever, where there will be pleasures forevermore. So it's a narrow way, it's the only way, and this path of life is a bloody way. Oh, it's a path marked by blood. It's a bloody way. It is the blood of Jesus Christ that has secured our resurrection. It is the blood of Jesus Christ that has atoned, that has paid for our sins. It is the blood of Jesus Christ that has justified us. For it is in his blood, it is in his death, his sacrificial death. His sufficient death, meaning that's all that was needed. It's a once for all death for all time, as Hebrews says. It's a once for all sacrifice that has paid the penalty for our sin. Christ stood in our stead. He bore the full wrath of God. And he is the one who enabled us to be transferred out of the kingdom of darkness into his glorious light. And he's transferred and he's transformed us from the inside out to be new and living creatures with a living hope. It is the blood of Christ that has paved the way. It is the blood of Christ that purifies us and cleanses us along the way. The psalmist says, send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me. Let them guide me. Let them lead me to your holy hill and to your dwelling place. It is the blood of Christ that sanctifies his bride. It is the blood of Christ that keeps the bride's, what's it called? Gown? What is that thing called the bride wears? Wedding dress, sorry. That keeps her wedding dress pure and clean and bright. It's been a long time since my wedding, so sorry. I can't remember the name. Oh, but it is a beautiful path. It is the only way to be made right with God. For there is no other name given under heaven by which man may be saved. For Christ died once for sins. He died once, the righteous for the unrighteous. That he might bring us to God. He's grabbed us and he's brought us to God. It is his sins that has paid the penalty for our guilt, for what we deserve. And it's his resurrection that has secured our right standing with God. We are now justified in his sight. We are declared righteous in God's sight. For we have now been clothed with the righteousness of Christ. It's a beautiful path. It's a path that is marked with signs. As you travel, as you walk through Pacifica, through the pathways or anywhere, along the paths you see little, what do they call, little placards, usually on the rocks or on benches dedicated to such and such person or whatever information they want to put along the path. Well, on this path, this narrow way, this placard, this sign is posted to the praise of his glorious grace. As we walk along, we see to the praise of his glorious grace, to the praise of his glorious grace, to the praise of his glorious grace. And it's a path which shines brighter and brighter and brighter until the full day, until we see Christ. In Revelation, it says that Jesus, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, the ruler of kings on earth, says, to him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood. In Revelation also says, your blood, by your blood, you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. And you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on earth. So this is the path of God that he has made known to us. It says, you make known to me the path of life. You've let me see my need for a resurrected Redeemer. And how we need Christ. If you are apart from Christ, you are still on the path of destruction this morning. You need Christ. You need to repent of your sins. You need to look to Christ and believe the record that God has given you regarding his Son. Whoever has a Son has life. But whoever does not have the Son does not have life. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. The word says, and you will be saved. You will be transferred out of that dark path onto this path of life, this path of light. And again, it's this path that leads us into the presence of God. For he says this, in your presence, there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. There's a psalm we were just singing, and it says this, he, regarding the Lord, he satisfies the longing soul. Is your soul empty this morning? Are you without hope this morning? God satisfies the longing soul. And the hungry soul he fills with good things, the psalmist said. Look to the one who alone satisfies. Look to the one who will fill you with good things. Look to the one who will keep you longing for more and hungering for more. He is the one that satisfies you. And the presence of God, there is fullness of joy. There are pleasures forevermore. In short, there is continuous worship. We will be worshiping the King of Kings. As you read through the book of Revelation, read through it, and you will see over and over again this word that is being repeated, the throne, around the throne, there are these elders, around the throne are the angels, around the throne, the saints come and bow and worship Christ. It is all about his sovereignty, his rule and reign, and about how we will worship our King of Kings forever, and how right now, this day, today, there are saints who have gone before us, who are before the Lamb, worshiping him. And one day we will be reunited with those who have gone before us, and we will see our King. And until that day comes, we have a hope for today, a hope that purifies, a hope that sanctifies, a hope that leads to holiness. It's a living hope. It's not a dead hope. In Numbers chapter 6, Aaron gave his blessing to the people. He said, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. To the Jew, the supreme blessing was to be in God's presence. The closer you were to God, the greater blessing there was. But just the opposite, the further away you were from God, the more cursed you were. To the Jew, the ultimate blessing was to be in God's presence, but the ultimate curse was to be apart from God. Being in the presence of God is the fulfillment of this passage. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. This is the fulfillment of this passage, that we will be in his presence. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall For they will see God. We will be blessed beyond blessed beyond blessed, because now we are blessed beyond blessed. We are blessed in Christ. That's why Peter said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's to an inheritance that will never fade. An inheritance that is reserved, it is kept for us in heaven. And it is this inheritance that we look forward to, that we long for. And our inheritance is Christ, is to be in his presence. He is our inheritance. He is our joy. And because of that, he says, therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. This is a hope for today that we are to set our hope on this hope. We are to set our hope on this truth, that we are God's, and that Christ, who has gone before us to prepare a place for us, will return for us. He's coming back for his bride. And as we walk along this path of life, this narrow way, it is a life that is difficult. For Jesus said, you must deny yourself. You must take up your cross and follow me. It is a path that requires getting rid of ourselves, dying to ourselves, denying ourselves, and living to Christ, and keeping our eyes focused and centered on Christ. A long time ago, I used to pretend I would run It's more jogging or walking, whatever you would call it. I don't know what it was. It was just painful. That's all I know it was. And there was always a goal I had in mind as I was jogging, walking, whatever you want to call it. But I had a goal. I tried to fix my eyes on that goal. And when I took my eyes off, it would just, you'd get distracted. Well, in our trek, in our walk, in our struggles through life, set your eyes on Christ, for he is our hope for today. He is a hope that brings strength. No matter what the circumstances are, and yes, it might seem easier said than done, but no matter what the circumstances are, our new character in Christ ought to shine through. Who we are in Christ ought to be seen. And we are suffering, we have one who gives us strength to walk along the way. For he is our hope. He is our king. It's his presence of God that brings a fullness of joy. It's a fullness of joy, not just a little bit of joy, but it's fullness. It's complete. It is sufficient. It is, you cannot add anything to it, nor can anything be taken from it. It is a joy that it is incomprehensible. Yet at the same time, we are told about it in Scripture. We see the saints in heaven right now in the presence of Christ. We read about them. It is continuous worship. It is a joy that will never run out. It is a joy for the eternities, and it is a joy that we have now, this day in Christ. And he goes on to say, not only in your presence there is fullness of joy, but at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. The psalmist said, says, as for me, I shall behold your face in righteousness. When I awake, I shall be satisfied with your likeness. That was his confident expectation. That was his hope. He knew that he was going to be before his king, where there is fullness of joy and pleasures that satisfy. It is a satisfaction that brings comfort. A satisfaction that actually brings a greater longing for more of Christ, for more of him, for his righteousness, for his holiness, to know him more. It brings more of saying, I am an unworthy sinner, unfit to serve my king, but yet by his grace, he's called me to do so. Oh God, I need you. I need your strength to walk this life that I might glorify you. It is a joyful presence. This world offers things that satisfy for the moment. But everything that the world gives you are like balloons or bubbles. Kids like balloons and bubbles. But what happens when you have kids and bubbles and balloons? They pop. All over. Pop, 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 pop. Well, that's what the world gives you. They give you balloons and bubbles. And they look great and they sparkle. And ooh, how nice. But as you go for it, it's only tangible. You can only have it for a few seconds and pop, it's gone. Then you got to look for the next hope, the next thing. But it's gone before you know you have a tantrum. Because I'm not getting what I deserve. Well, praise God, we haven't gotten what we deserve in Christ. Christ has took our place. He's our substitute, our Savior. He is the satisfaction. But we have a sure and steadfast hope in Christ. It is not like a balloon or a bubble. It is like a rock that our feet are firmly planted on that cannot be moved. It is a path that is governed by the word and says, walk this way. Don't turn to the left. Don't turn to the right. Walk this way. It is a path that has been lit for us. For the word of God is our lamp and a light. And it shines and it points to the great I am, to the King of Kings. He is our hope. Bible says this, Paul said that right now, we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. It says, now I know in part, but then I shall fully know, even as I have been fully known. John goes on to say, beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. And everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. This path of God, which leads to the presence of God, brings a fullness of joy. And it is a path of God that has been marked by the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. It has been, he is the one who has allowed us to be on this path of life. For he is our forerunner. He is the one who's gone on ahead of us. And we look forward to that great hope of being in his presence again. As the song says, on Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is what? Sinking sand. There is no other ground that is secure and sure. So apart from Christ, you are still on this path of destruction. That is why Christ is preached. That is why he is proclaimed as the only way, the truth, and the life. It is because of who he is and what he's done. He has died a sinner's death. And he's risen victoriously. Death couldn't hold him down because he's risen victoriously. He has satisfied the demands of justice. He has satisfied the law of God. And he's brought forgiveness of sins. And he's given us his righteousness. And he's secured for us eternal life. It is in Christ that we have forgiveness of sins. It is in Christ that we have eternal life. And it is in Christ that we have a sure hope. A hope for today. And a great hope for tomorrow. And no matter what comes our way, we could always say that it is well with our soul. As we walk along this narrow path, as trials and struggles increase, as spouses are mean to their wives and their wives have to endure, we know that it will be well with our soul. As there's sickness or loss of jobs, health issues, whatever it may be, it is well with our soul. For we have a sure hope. We have a confident expectation that what God has promised, he will fulfill. For God is faithful. He is not a man that he should lie, or a son of man that he should change his mind. Has he said and will he not do it? Has he spoken and will he not fulfill it? Hope in God. As the psalmist says, why are you downcast, O my soul? Put your hope in God. So abide in these promises. Abide in the promises of God. And as you abide in the promises of God, your hope will increase. Because it is a hope that is given from God. For God is the source of our hope. And it is a hope that increases because it's a living hope. It's a hope that sanctifies and purifies and causes us to move with greater endurance. It's not the type of hope that fades away when the going gets tough. It's not the type that says, I can't do this anymore. I'm done. No, for he's given us a hope that perseveres because he is our rock. He is our savior. He is our strength. He is our comforter. He is our joy. And as Christ set the Father before him, as he said that in verse 8 of chapter 16, he said, I have set the Lord always before me. And because he is at my right hand, I shall not be shaken. We too must set the Lord before us. And we know that he is an ever-present help. He is our rock and our refuge. Therefore, we should not be shaken. Yeah, it's easier said than done. You say, well, he's given us his word. He's given us the means that we need to energize our faith and our hope. And he's given us the body, his bride, to come alongside and pick each other up and walk along this path. But most importantly, he's given us his spirit, his Holy Spirit, that not only sanctifies and makes you holy, but strengthens us and continues to point us to Christ. He continues to say, look to him, look to him, look to him. Look how glorious he is. He is sufficient for all your needs. He satisfies your soul. Look to Christ. That is what the Spirit tells us to do. So abide on these promises. Bank on them. Count on them. Contemplate them. And delight yourself in the Lord. Delight yourself in his word. Delight yourself in his promises. Because he has made known to us the path of life. And it is in his presence that there is fullness of joy. And it is at his right hand that there are pleasures forevermore. Is Jesus your hope for today? Because apart from Jesus, you have no hope. You have no hope apart from Jesus. Look to him and be saved. Jesus said to Martha and John, he said, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Do you believe this to be true today? Let's pray. Father, I thank you that we have a sure and steadfast hope, an anchor for our soul. Christ, who has gone before us to be in your presence, who is our great high priest, our mediator, our glorious mediator, our glorious high priest, our satisfaction, our hope. He is the one who provides protection, the one who provides provisions for all of our needs. He is the one to whom we look for strength and for comfort. For that is our comfort in life and death, that we belong to you, so that whether we live or whether we die, we are yours and we shall be with you in paradise. So I pray that as we look to Christ right now in communion, that we will see that it is Christ who has paid the debt for our sin. It is Christ whose body was broken and whose blood was shed. It is Christ who has satisfied you. And now it is Christ who satisfies us. And we do this in remembrance of him until he returns. And we look forward to his glorious return. And I pray that you would increase our hope in his return. Increase our hope in seeing him. And may this hope, which is living, energize us. May it cause us to pursue holiness, purity, righteousness, godliness in this crooked and twisted and evil generation. May we shine brighter and brighter as the light of Christ shines through us. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you.